This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. Gosh darn, did you see the picture of this missile on Whidbey Island?
No.
There's a weather camera at 3:56 a.m. on Sunday, and it's, I think it's called Skunk Bay on Whidbey Island. They just have a fixed camera, and you see a vertical streak of light on the left side of this picture. It's about a 20-second exposure. And then if you zoom in, it looks like there's a missile at the top of this streak of light. And so we're going to put it up on our blog.
Okay, good.
Because Cliff Moss at the University of Washington, he's going to join us in an hour, Cliff Moss, and he has it on his blog.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
It just looks like a missile. So,
yikes.
So people contacted Naval Air Station Whidbey, and they said, we don't even have missile launching capabilities, and there are no Navy ships in the area that could have fired a missile. And so nobody knows. Are you looking at it now?
I am, and things are going well with North Korea now.
Well, yeah, so I'm thinking that Kim's not dropping nukes over on Whidbey. At least I'm hoping not. So
that would be scary, though, to see that. That's that's an incredible sight, a mystery streak.
Yes. So we're going to talk to Cliff an hour from now, and we'll try to get an answer. But anyway, we're going to get it up on My Northwest, on my blog, and I'd like people between now and when we get Cliff on
to... It looks like a rocket. Yeah, it does look like a rocket launching.
It looks just like an ascending rocket. Yes, and when you zoom in especially, unless... And I don't think it'd be Photoshopped because it's just some guy who operates a weather camera over there on Whidbey. So there's no reason to Photoshop this. It's well before sunrise. It's an hour before sunrise. So it can't be some glint of light through the clouds from the sun.
Yeah. And you can see a bit of sky, but there's a big, giant, dark cloud.
Yeah. And the reason you can see any definition in the sky is because it is a 20-second exposure. So it's a big mystery as to whether there was some missile flying around Whidbey Island on Sunday morning. So if you will get it up on My Northwest, and then you can drop in the comments, and then we'll talk to Cliff Moss an hour from now, and we'll see if he's figured out, because he's asking the same thing. He does not know what this is. So if you have a theory, you can text us at 98973. That's 98973. All right, up next in the Fastest 15. So I still haven't played. I played a little bit of Trump. I haven't played any Dennis Rodman yet, because Dennis Rodman went on CNN, and he was over in Singapore. And did you get the part where he's thanking everybody? You got that? Okay. Because Rodman, he's doing an interview with Chris Cuomo over on CNN, and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, what was it, like pot bit or pot coin? Yeah, it's like a Bitcoin for the marijuana industry.
Right.
Your mic's...
And he's also wearing Make America Great Again.
Yeah, he's wearing a Trump MAGA hat.
Right. They're the ones that have actually, like, I believe that they've paid and sponsored for his trips to North Korea. That's why he's giving them so many shout-outs.
Yes.
They've given him money.
So here's, but he was very emotional that Trump and Kim seem to be hitting it off and maybe saving the world.
Obama didn't even give me the time of day. I asked him, I said, I have something to say from North Korea. He just brushed me off. But that didn't deter me. I still kept going back. I showed my loyalty and my trustworthy to this country. And I said to everybody, I said, the door will open. It's amazing. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. When I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believe in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know what had to see me. But I took those bullets. I took all that. I took everything. Everyone came at me, and I'm still standing. And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
Yeah,
it is a great
I'm
day.
Here to
this
see
is
it.
A historic day.
I'm so happy.
How sweet is he? I mean, I was
seriously?
I was mesmerized by that interview.
Were you?
I've been pulling Dennis Rodman cuts for a long time, and he really did say the things he says he said in that interview.
Oh, I know he did.
He has been saying forever, this is what he wants.
Yeah, and this is not to excuse what Kim Jong-un has done.
Right.
I mean, he's done some horrific things.
Sure.
And no one took Dennis Rodman seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, what the heck is he doing over there?
I will say that all the people, I was looking on Twitter, and everybody was goofing on Rodman for this crying interview, but what do? They sit and they tweet stuff about people like Rodman. Maybe Rodman played some role in opening this door.
Well, at least thawing it out a little bit.
Because Kim loves him. Oh, Kim loves him.
I think he just wishes somebody would have listened sooner and saved some drama the last few years.
It's very strange. You know, I've played craps with Dennis Rodman at the Mirage.
Mm-hmm. He didn't cry then, did he?
Hung out. No, he was so obnoxious. So he said he's open to giving advice still.
If Trump want to come ask me about certain things, he'll probably figure it out today, and I hope he does. But if he want to ask me one-on-one, I'm willing to do it. So, like I said, I know a lot of things. But like I said, this is Trump and Kim Jong-un's day. This is the world's day. It's not my day. I just came here because I wanted to see face-to-face in my own eyes.
Nobody thought it was your day. You don't have to clarify that for us.
Well, no, Cuomo asked him. You think this is, are you going to be a part of this?
But,
He's like, it's not my day.
But then this was hilarious. So then he said, because like I said, he's wearing this T-shirt, what was it called?
Potcoin.
Potcoin.com.
Thanks for giving him some extra advertising.
Well, and so Dennis wants to make sure he gets a plug in. So he says to Chris Cuomo, can I thank some people? And I think Cuomo knows that this is fraught with peril, but listen who Dennis Rodman thanks.
All right, so, you know, I just say to, you know, all the good people that's really stood by me, Darren Prince, you know, Vo, all the guys that went with me, North Korea.
Who's Vo? Do we know who Vo is?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking Chuck Daly. I'm thinking Phil Jackson.
Chuck Daly is the former coach of the Detroit Pistons.
Well, Phil Jackson.
Who was his coach. And yeah. Phil Jackson was his coach with the Bulls. I don't know why in a CNN interview today, Dennis Rodman is thanking Chuck Daly and Phil Jackson. But then listen who else gets thank yous.
You know, I'm thinking Chuck Daly. I'm thinking Phil Jackson. I'm thinking Jeannie Buss. I'm thinking, Pete Giannopoulos. I'm thinking Eddie Vedder, the Pearl Jam. Everybody that supported me.
Eddie Vedder and the Pearl Jam.
Well, maybe we don't realize who was supporting him behind the scenes.
Yes. He was taking all this hate from everybody. Those are people that reached out, I bet.
I mean, did we know that he was getting death threats? I certainly didn't.
I just like that he calls them the Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder and the Pearl Jam.
I'm thinking, Pete Giannopoulos. I'm thinking Eddie Vedder, the Pearl Jam. Everybody that's supporting me through all these things. So, you know, I think my kids, they're still with me after all these years, all the things I've done up and down.
Kids are still
this
with
is like
him.
His Oscar awards. I mean,
the kids are still with him.
They're still with me. All you know, I just want to thank everybody, man. And plus, you know what? I'm thinking of these guys at Popcorn that supported me through this whole venture.
I got you. So we see the shirt there. Goes. You got a good outfit. You got Trump on the top. You got Popcorn on the bottom.
So this marijuana Bitcoin type industry, they're getting all kinds of free publicity. Okay, and then finally, so then Cuomo has James Clapper, the former CIA guy, on, and they reacted to Dennis Rodman interview.
It is bizarre, to say the least, but here I am next to the director of national intelligence, former director for the government, and Dennis Rodman, also known as the worm for how he played basketball. He is our best resource at this point right now for understanding the minds of the two men, especially Kim Jong-un.
I agree, Chris, and I tell
as
you,
weird as that is,
as weird as it
to
is.
Say.
But here, look at
I mean, think of the whole thing. Think, I mean, from apprentice to, I mean, he is sitting there. I mean, seriously, the whole thing, you couldn't script it. You couldn't write it and think this any of this was believable.
No.
But this is Dennis Rodman in 2013.
Obama, what are you afraid of? Come talk to me. Guess what? I've seen things. I know things that you want to know.
Yeah. Could have happened a long time
Obama
ago.
Obama had taken him up on this 5 years ago.
Right.
Maybe Kim doesn't get the nukes, and
but there was nobody. I mean, President Obama, nobody took him seriously.
Well, but apparently Trump did. Trump somehow figured it out.
This, and I don't want to get anyone upset, anyone named Diane, but this time he listened to him. But apparently years ago he was saying, "What the heck is Dennis Rodman doing over there?"
Right, but yeah, again.
And now he's
when it counted.
Yeah. So Rodman. Well,
absolutely. Rodman certainly gets some credit.
I just remember when he was a player. Oh, I loved him as a player.
He was so fun.
He was the most unselfish. He never scored. He never shot. All he wanted to do was rebound and play defense. And he was the best I'd ever seen.
That was the last time I watched basketball.
Oh, man. He was special.
As fun as he was on the court, he was even more fun off the court.
Well, yeah, I remember when he kicked that cameraman in the groin during a game, guy who was sitting on the baseline and... Yeah, now he's negotiating. This is a weird world we're in right now. It is really weird. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, there was a high school baseball championship. This was back in Minnesota, the championship baseball game. And I just have a little clip where the kid who's pitching strikes out the opposing batter to win the game, and you can just barely hear, but the parent who's video recording this, you hear him say something right at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, final out. Now, I got to give you the visual here. As you can imagine, every player on this team, they just won the state championship. They go racing out to the mound to hug each other and to hug the pitcher who just got a strikeout. The pitcher makes a beeline for home plate and wraps the batter that he had just struck out in kind of a bear hug. And a lot of people.
It was a huge bear hug. And he had to actually kind of dodge his teammates who were running to the mound. And he's running in the opposite direction to get to the home plate.
And some people
give him a huge hug.
Some people thought, well, is it like a taunting thing? He just struck him out. But you even hear the parents say that. The parents say, oh, look, he hugged him. Well, here's the backstory. So somebody went and talked to this pitcher kid and said, how come you went and hugged the batter and embraced him instead of celebrating the state championship with your teammates? And the pitcher kid, it was just a print interview, so I don't have audio of it. Ty Cohn is his name. And he said, we, meaning him and the batter, his name is Jack Cosan, we are very close friends. I knew him from all the way back when we were 13. I just felt, first of all, I thought that was, adorable. A 17-year-old. Yeah. I knew him all the way back when we were 13. We were on the same little league team. It was tough when we went to separate schools, but we kept in touch. I knew the game was going to keep going or it was going to end right there. I knew I had to say something. Our friendship is more important than just the silly outcome of a game. I had to make sure he knew that before we celebrated. It was just instinct. It just felt right.
And how awesome is that?
It's just sweet as can be.
The epitome of great sportsmanship and empathy.
When you win a state championship, you just want to celebrate with your teammates and dance around. But this kid, he just wanted to go hug his old Little League buddy.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really sweet. Next up in the Fastest 15, I just want to thank the folks at CityWatchLA.com. And I think they are kind of a Los Angeles area watchdog media place. And they have a big story headlined L.A. Vote Chaos, Incompetence or Sabotage by Least Qualified Election Exec. And the whole focus is the story that we exclusively had earlier this week about Dean Logan, the guy that I believe stole the Washington governor's election in 2004 from Dino Rossi for Christine Gregoire. And he also was part of this voting scandal in Los Angeles this week on Tuesday when 120,000 voters were left off the voting rolls. And so they went to the polls and, oh, sorry, we don't have you. And the reason, I believe, is because Dean Logan wanted to ensure that the second place finisher, because they've already decided that the Democrat Party down in California, they want Gavin Newsom to be the next governor. He's a Democrat. Gavin Newsom would have trouble in November if he had a Hispanic Democrat opposite him, and the top two vote getters get to the general election. Well, the former L.A. mayor, Antonio Villagrosa, if you exclude 120,000 Hispanic Democrats from the polls, then Antonio Villagrosa is hurt by that. The Republican who finished second is a little-known guy named John Cox, and he doesn't have a chance against Gavin Newsom. And so it's my belief that the guy who stole the Washington state governor's election in 2004 was trying to engineer the outcome of the California governor's race. And anyway, this whole City Watch LA, it quotes liberally from our My Northwest story and for what we did on the air. And then it also points out that this guy, Dean Logan, he makes $280,000 a year in salary, but has a total compensation of $400,000 a year. According to his online biography, Dean Logan boasts of having several degrees from Azusa Pacific and from the Evans School of Public Affairs at the University of Washington, but they believe, they say it doesn't match up. He would have gotten his master's from the UW when he was in California. And so now we got to check out and see if this guy's actually got a degree at all, or if he just lies on his resume, which is what they're suggesting in this story. But you can see the story if you go to citywatchla.com, and they give our radio show lots of credit for connecting this ripoff down in Los Angeles in California governor's race with what happened here in Washington in 2004. About time we started getting some respect around here. There you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, I hope Sean Dettori has a good batch of music, because Dave Wyman is dropping by for his weekly visit next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Poison.
Good job, Dave.
Is that right?
Yes, Poison. Why would I lie live on the radio?
I thought he was going to hit me with a hammer afterwards. Good job, Dave. You're wrong.
I have no chance with these 80s hair bands. I have no chance at all.
Is this a hokey brand of music right here?
Yeah.
Remember, they were all the same. Rat, the hair bands.
Yeah. I just got no chance.
Dory likes the no hair bands. The losing your hair bands.
1-0, Dave Wyman takes the early lead in our weekly competition, where I welcome from 710 ESPN Seattle, Dave Wyman.
How you doing?
I'm really good. How are
good.
You?
Just super.
Nice.
Had a really nice trip down to L.A. with a couple of cats in the front of a U-Haul van.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really great.
Yeah.
19 hours on the road with meowing and cat hair flying everywhere in the cab. It was fantastic.
Wait, you just let them roam around? They weren't in crates?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Why didn't you go Mitt Romney and put him in a roof rack?
Did he do that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
You, You can't, well, I don't want to say this. We did not put them in the back of the van, but you could do that.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, if it's too hot or whatever.
That sounds just miserable.
Yeah, it was not very fun.
And the U-Haul. The U-Haul?
It's not like it has reclining seats or anything like that.
That's such an uncomfortable
truck. I was sitting
truck.
Upright the whole time.
Those
yeah.
trucks are horrible. But
did it have air conditioning?
It did have air conditioning. Yeah.
Did work?
It did work.
I've never had a U-Haul where the air conditioning worked.
It's funny. The guy checked it before. He's like, hey, make sure the AC is working for you.
Yeah, it'll blow, but it's tepid.
But there was cat hair just flying around. You couldn't eat inside the cab because you get cat hair everywhere. But we took the two cats down to my daughter, and she's living down in Burbank, and got her all moved in and everything. So, what they do at the blackjack table when they go and they show both sides of their hands? I'm done.
You're done.
Okay? That's it.
Oh, I don't like driving long distances anymore. I know you do.
Well,
I don't understand that.
I don't mind. I like the scenery. Like, Southern Oregon is beautiful. I mean, you go down and you go to Portlandia, mm-hmm. and that's a totally different story. But when you get down into Southern Oregon and Northern California, it's beautiful down there.
When I was a kid, the only time we ever went on anything resembling a vacation, we would drive either to North Dakota or to Southern Cal.
And it was just, why North Dakota?
Well, it's where my mom was from.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought maybe the world's biggest ball of string was there.
No, no, Mountain North Dakota. But we would go across Montana. I remember this vividly. I was 6 years old. My brother was 12. My mom had this old 88. And in Montana, and you're from Nevada, so you probably remember this. The two states that had no speed limit in the country were Montana and Nevada. Do you remember when Nevada, when you were a kid, didn't have a speed limit?
Well, it was only in the eastern part.
Was it?
Yeah. So okay. Reno was in the very west. And we went to like places like Lovelock and Fallon that were like 2-3 hours. I played my first football game in Lovelock, Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't really remember that. I wasn't driving then. But since then, I've driven through there. And, yeah, you can just let it fly.
Well, and so my brother is egging on my mom, saying, why does that speedometer say 120? This car can't go 120. This is... And my mom goes, oh, yeah? Mom puts the pedal to the floor, and it's on. I remember watching it. And, of course, no seatbelts.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm 6 years old. I've packed the back seat with pillows and sleeping bags and my Archie and Charlie Brown comics. And I remember watching the speedometer sit on the peg at 120 as we're flying across Montana.
Uh-huh.
It was an awesome memory.
That was living back then, and that car that you were in probably weighed about 7,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. It got about 12 miles to the gallon.
You betcha.
Yeah. And then the other story that I always like to tell is about air conditioners. It didn't have an air conditioner, and we drove to California one time, and we went to AA Rentals on Holman Road in Ballard, and they had a air conditioner that you could plug into your cigarette lighter, and when you'd stop at, they always had a country kitchens would be like in the middle of nowhere as you're driving down I-5 or across I-90 in North Dakota. And we'd get a big bag of ice from the country kitchen, and you pour the ice into this device that's plugged into the cigarette lighter, and that would cool the air. But it just had a fan on it, and these little sharp shards of ice would fly into my eyeballs. Yes, and that was how we cooled down the car.
Oh, man.
Oh, memories.
No wonder we were so much tougher than the kids now, right?
That's right. So Earl Thomas is not going to show up at Seahawk minicamp.
Yeah.
This is an unfortunate and somewhat baffling decision, in my opinion.
Yeah. Here's what I think just overall, that whatever they pay them, and look, I don't want to spend all their money and everything, but I think they're going to get their money's worth. I think Earl is, and we did a thing yesterday about guys who have signed third contracts and whether it's worked out or not. Marshawn didn't work out. Michael Bennett didn't work out. And then, you know, Cliff Averill did kind of work out, but then he got hurt. And then same thing with Cam Chancellor.
Right.
So bad memories of that. I just think Earl is different. I think he's a different kind of player. There's not a better safety in the league. And you look at his numbers compared to Eric Berry, who's getting $13 million, mm-hmm. you know, you can kind of understand. But that's just the way it goes. It's just the business side of it. Look, you know, if you – like Aaron Rodgers is always complaining. When you sign a 4-year deal, 2 years later, some stiff who's not better than you is going to be making more money than you. It's just the way it goes. The salaries are going up. So, but, you know, I think that it's just business for him, that he's just, he's trying to, I mean, we're all tired of it and the attitude and everything.
You're making $8.5 million. If you factor in, he got guaranteed money that, you know, if you prorate that into this year, he's making really $10.5 million this year to play football, $2 million of which he's already collected. And I know it's just business. I still don't understand the whole concept of signing a contract and not honoring it. I just don't understand that. And if you sign a contract, you should plan on finishing that contract without complaint. That's good dough.
I wonder if he just played this one out that they might end up giving him what he wants, you know, as sort of good faith. But, you know, it's just I think they figure I know that the agents are in their ears. But the thing is, you know, you can guide your agent. I told my agent, I'm never holding out. So, you know, and he always got me great deals, more than I deserved, I thought, a lot of times. But, you know, that was something that I just wasn't going to be a part of, no matter what. And there were very few holdouts back then. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't want to say it's bad karma, but it's I think it's got a lot of people worried just because what they've gone through with Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett, and then this whole thing that, is Pete losing control of the team, and we want all these younger guys. But, gosh, Earl, he is a holy terror on the field. I just love watching him play.
I agree with that, but I also know that after never missing a game for his first, 6-7 years, he's missed seven, I believe, in the last 2 years.
Seven in the last two.
And that's where, you know, you get into, like, Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill. They both have had career-ending, and Cam, we're not certain, but likely, career-ending injuries. That's just more likely to happen when you get close to 30 years old like Earl is. And that's where, you know, I'm back to understanding the team saying, we don't want to give him, you know, with a big, huge guarantee. You'd have a guarantee lump sum plus whatever the extension is. And I just think that's a roll of the dice when the trend line is, okay, he's getting hurt more and more. He's great when he's healthy. But he's getting hurt more and more.
Well, he played through that shoulder injury in the Super Bowl because he hurt himself in the NFC Championship game. And then, you know, the one thing, breaking his leg because he collided with Cam Chancellor, I don't think that was him breaking down. I think that you take those five out. That was just like that was a car accident that happened. You run into Cam Chancellor. That's what happens. You break your leg. It's fading in.
Should have been gone.
Steve Tyler. Steve Perry.
No.
Steve Perry.
Journey.
No, it's Steve Perry. He was still in Journey, but it's from his first solo record, Street Talk. Yeah, baby.
2-0. You're on a roll.
Said Steve Tyler first.
You've been on just an absolute roll for the last month and a half.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
really
know what it's
annoying
about.
Me.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
You know what I do? I concuss myself every Tuesday before I come in here, and that way I don't have a lot of thoughts running around up in my head.
Nonsense. You don't have that hamster wheel spinning. Okay, quick timeout. We'll continue our conversation with Dave Wyman. This is the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. We built this city. Starship. We built
this city. Nice.
Jefferson Starship.
I think they were just Starship.
It's just Starship at this
point. Oh, see? It's a good call. Got me back for the Steve Perry.
They went from Jefferson Airplane.
All right.
And then they became Jefferson Starship. And then in the We Built This City era, I believe they were just Starship.
Any members come out of that band that started like their own gigs?
What was her name? Grace Slick. Yeah. I never cared for their music.
Whenever I picture her, I picture Elvira. Is that kind of what she looks like?
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
They, if you've ever seen Blue Man Group?
I've never gone and seen the performance, but I'm aware that
Blue
they exist.
Blue Man Group, when I saw them in Vegas, my wife and I saw them, and they had this one routine to the Jefferson Airplane song, Alice in Wonderland, White Rabbit? Is that the name of it? And it's just very memorable. It's a very memorable little live performance there.
By Blue Man. You're quite the patron of the arts, aren't you? Well, the arts in Vegas.
Cultured.
No, I go to a lot of plays here, too.
Do you?
I like plays.
Do you like musicals?
I'm surprisingly... It depends. I'm just... Like, what was that one? Rent. I saw Rent, mm-hmm. which is... Oh, gosh, it was awful. Mm. I saw that a few months ago. It's just like a socialist paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that everybody raves about, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. I saw that too.
Horrible.
I cannot stand any musical. We tried to watch La La Land.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
It's awful. I can't stand it when people just randomly break into song and dance.
In the middle of a freeway?
Yeah. What? That was, yeah, it's just silly to me.
After I saw La La Land, I remember coming on the radio the next day, and I said, as I was watching that, I figured out the success of our radio show. Because who's the star of that? Is it Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
And who's the gal?
Oh, man.
What's her name?
Yeah, the redhead gal with the big blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And anyway, but Ryan Gosling, like me, every guy wants to be him. Every gal wants to be with him.
That's what it is. Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Yeah, and Nicole's like the Emma Stone of this radio show.
I could see the Emma Stone comparison.
What is that supposed to
mean? That's all I'm saying.
What's that supposed to mean?
I didn't say a word other than that.
No, there's some subtext there. And I don't know if I'm entirely happy.
Ryan Gosling is a heartthrob.
Would
like
I be the best boy of the production?
Yeah, you'd be the key grip. we don't have time for the other topics I wanted to get to with you.
Oh.
Because if I get this next song, then we're going to have a tiebreaker, and we got to leave time for that.
Tease it for next week.
Okay.
About that? Wang Chung.
Oh,
Dave! Oh,
what a
stink.
They have a song.
They
have a song called "Everybody Wang Chung" tonight.
Yeah,
isn't that kind of like referring to yourself in the third person?
Kind of.
Who do they think they are?
This is a really good selection of songs, Sean.
Thanks,
well
Nicole.
Done today.
I thought so.
I am the
except
best
for that
boy.
Like starship
I
thing.
Totally disagree.
it was fun though. It was fun.
Well, gosh, we're out of time.
All right.
You know, we should do songs. If we wanted to do thematic, bands that have referred to themselves in song.
Like, how many would there be?
Well, there'd be Sheik's La Freak.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two. Why don't you do some research on that, and we'll talk next Tuesday at 1:30.
You're Dave Wyman every afternoon, 3 to 7, 710 ESPN Seattle. We have some amazing audio from the city council meeting. You're going to hear it in the big lead next.